Blog Talk Radio.
And I pray for your people, Israel.
and every one of us. Although we are scattered to the four corners of this world, nevertheless, Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless us, that you strengthen us, that we, by the unity of thy Spirit, may speak the same thing, have the same mind, have the same judgment, that there be no divisions among us. May your grace and your mercy, your compassion and your loving kindness be towards all of your people, whom thou hast called, whom thou hast chosen. Yeshem Yahushua Mashiach. Hallelujah. And welcome once again to The Truth Shall Prevail. As we continue our current topic, we want to pick up with a passage that we looked at last week to carry us into tonight's lesson, which comes from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10, which reads, "You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no power formed, neither shall there be after me." Now the clause, which we looked at in the Hebrew last week, no nuzar al or el, there was no God form. He says again, Epani, before me, there was no God form, Uachari lo yeye, neither shall there be after me. So the question that we left off with last week, in connection to this whole topic, what does the Bible teach about God, and to broaden that term a little more for our understanding, the Godhead. Was Yahweh formed? If we deny that he was formed, do we then deny this passage? Now, I am a firm believer, as Brother Kepha, Brother Peter brings out, no scripture is of its own private interpretation. And in that context, what I'm saying is this: what we cannot do with the word of the Most High is to take one passage and then build a doctrine from that one passage, because the one passage may not have every thought pertaining to the subject matter at hand. I firmly agree with that. So, tonight, what we want to do, we want to take a look at several other passages to see whether or not within the Word, the Creator is in fact showing, teaching, revealing, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh is indeed a formed or created being. If so, the next question we have to ask, who formed or created? So the first passage we want to look at, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, powers created the heavens and the earth. Now the word God, which we discussed, simply means mighty ones, power. More specifically, when it's translated from the Hebrew word Elohim or Elohim, it's plural, so it means gods, more correct. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh powers made the heavens and so in these two passages, what do we learn? Simply put, that it was powers for God that created the heavens and the earth. Simple as that. And then in the second passage, it gives the name of that entity. Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. Yahweh. Now, let's do some comparison. Let's turn now to John, chapter 1, verse 1, which reads, in the beginning was the Word. Now, as Bible students, and at this time, let me interject and encourage those of you who may be listening, be it live or at a later date, make sure you have your tools, most importantly, your Bible, and then your convenience. You can go over these things and utilize your Bible dictionaries and your Bible encyclopedias and your concordances and your lexicons so that you can search these things out as the Most High leads by His Spirit. So when we read this passage, we have to ask the question, what is the Word? What is it? The Word comes from a Greek term, 3056. And that word is logos in the Greek language. Now, if you listen to the term, it sounds a little similar to one of our English words, which is derived from it, and that word being logic. So the term logic is a derivative from this Greek term, logos. Now, according to Strong, the term logos means something said, which includes the thought, a word, but there is also a meaning as it pertains to reason. It's the term logic. The reasoning faculty as that power of the soul, which is the basis of speech or rationality. Now, these are definitions associated with the term logos. Now, in your Strong's Concordance and your lexicon, Greek letters actually derived from another word, which you find in number 3004. Now, the word of 3004 is Lego. Now, I'm sure many of you hearing that, a thought pops into mind immediately, because that is a popular toy in our day and era. As a matter of fact, the toy is so popular, not too long ago, they made a movie about it, the Lego movie. And we think about a Lego. What is a Lego? A Lego is a building block. Think about that. So it just so happens that the Greek term Lego, from which is derived the term logos, is a term that we use, even in our language, to imply a building. As we begin to delve a little bit into this word tonight, what does the Bible teach about God? And we're learning something about in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, you look at the term Lego, which means to lay forth, in the sense of relating in words, be it by systematic or set discourse. Okay, originally, to lay or let lie down for sleep, to lay together or to collect. These are some of the connotations of this term. To lay before in a sense of, again, relating or recounting something. So when you lay, let me lay it all out for you. Anybody ever heard somebody use that phraseology? Brother, let me lay it out for you. In other words, what this person is about to do, let me explain it to you so that you can see things clearer. In other words, that's what's being said. In the beginning was the Word. Now, when you think about a word, now let's take it back to elementary school. One of the things that you understand about a word when you're young, the first thing that you need to learn, what we call today in the remember when you were younger. And there's a reason why they did it this way. When you were in pre-K, kindergarten, or what have you, you had that section of your classroom where you had the toys, which was the fun section. Well, a lot of times the toys, sometimes they may have had a truck or a doll or something like that, which was a toy that we used to count and learn how to do our addition and subtraction and multiply and divide and things like that. Okay? But there was another toy that was formed in the shape of a cube, and what these things had on it, they had the letters. So that they would, you can put the different letters together and you learn how to spell different words. But they made it in the form of a cube because what the understanding that was being transmitted is how letters are the building blocks of a language. Now, some things, schools of higher learning, have been corrupted. We think about the entire system. But there's still something that you can glean from that manner of learning that is beneficial to better understand it, how the Most High operates. So in that particular example, looking at the block, the building block, which that's what happened to have the letters on it, when we think about the word, in the beginning was the word, something said, something that was laid forth. Okay? It says in the next clause, and the word was with, and I'm, for sake of making the point, and for those of you who have been following along, I'm going to use the term God, and the word was with God. So what you have to do now, this is where we want to, you know, another thing that's to relate back to when we were in elementary school. I remember one of my teachers in particular when I was in kindergarten. She used to tell us to put on our thinking caps. And this used to go through the manner and the thinking caps. If you can recall, you may not see a lot of them today, but years ago, women, they used to wear, and maybe men, I don't recall a lot of men wearing it, but I do recall a lot of women that women would put on when it would rain. And then you would actually put it on your head, then it had some strength, then you would tie it at the bottom so that it won't fall off your head or the wind blow it off your head. Well, when the teacher said, put on your thinking cap, then she would do the motion of, and then she was putting on that type of a scarf, and then, you know, going through the motion of tying it, and now put your thinking cap. In other words, to kind of use your mind or your imagination. So now, in the beginning was this word. Whatever this word is, and this was this word is something that was laid forth, something that was said. This is the building block. Okay? It says, and the word was with God. So you have now, if you can just imagine, you have the word, and then you have God. Two separate entities. The word and God. Now, how was the word with God? How was that? And when you look at the term God, we have to ask, who is God? Who is it? Now, immediately, the way that we have been taught based on our Judeo-Christian upbringing as it pertains to the Holy Scripture. Well, this is the same entity that we learn about when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when it says, and the Word was with God, in our mind, we automatically think, well, God is the one that it talks about in the first verse of the Bible. Now, when we look at John and him writing, Bible students, we have to ask a question. Brother, why did you start your account of the life of the Messiah, Bereshit? Because that's how we actually started out. And he was mimicking or mirroring, if I'm saying that correctly, what we learn in the book of Genesis. He wants to take us back to the beginning because now, receiving of the Holy Spirit, John, Brother Johannes, he has insight. He's seen something a little different than he used to see. He now, not just understanding that in the beginning, Elohim or mighty ones or powers created the heavens and the earth. Now he's going to lay it out for us. He's going to break it down for us. In the beginning, there was a word that existed. This word is what formed the building blocks of creation. So at that one point when you have just the word, see, the word was still somewhere. It's not until you get to the second card that now the reality is being made manifest, is that the word had to be brought forth, and now this word that existed in the beginning, it is now with God, precious, who is God. We'll get there. And then the next clause, it says, and the word was God. So hold up. In the beginning was the word was with God. So you have the word and you have God. But now it says the word was God. So now you have God and God. So for example's sake, we look at the Elohim. If it is a plural term, on this most base level, you could at least see that there are two gods. You have the God which is at the head of all things. We have this word which is now being given the status of God. So now you at least, based on that much, have two gods. It means for us. Now let's go to the next verse. It says the same what? Let's consider the context. The same word was in the beginning, Bereshit, in the beginning with God. Next verse. All things, oh, that word, A-L-L. All things were made by him. By who? By the word. And without him, without who? Without the word, was not anything made that was made. Now, Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashemayim va'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, powers created the heavens and the earth. So now, these powers, okay, is being compared to the word. Because what we learn in the New Testament, what's happening now, our understanding is being taken to another level. It is the word that created all things. All things were made by him, and without being made, that was made. It is the word that created and brought all things into being. Drop down to verse 14. And it says, and the word was made flesh. Now what we learn. This word, this creative force, the building blocks of everything you see, wherever you are, if you listen to tonight, if you listen on another day or another night, everything that your eyes behold in that moment was created by the word. How are you going to say that, brother? If you're looking at a vehicle, that vehicle is created. If you're looking at a house, that house was created from elements that come from the earth. Your clothing, your food, you name it. Any object that you see was created from this planet. And according to the word, in the beginning, powers created the heavens and the earth. So if the earth was a part of that creation, that means anything and everything that the earth produces, guess what? That is the origin of it. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. full of grace and truth. Now, only begotten. Now, this is what many, the word came through the birth canal of a woman and became a man. That is how the word became the only begotten of the Father. That's not what that's saying. Because if you look at a genealogy in Luke, and it traces all the way back to Adam, and it says that Adam was God. So if it's acknowledging Adam as being the Son of God, how then could the Word be the only begotten at this point in history? Because now, considering this is around the time of the fourth millennium when this takes place, this Word becoming flesh, Adam was the first man that was created, and he's being described as the Son of God. So that in and of itself cancels out the whole notion that the Messiah was the only begotten because he's the only one that came through the birth canal of a woman and became a man. No, that's not what that meant. So the term only begotten, let's look at that. Your Greek lexicon, you find it under number 3439. Now the word in Greek is monogenes. Monogenes. Now it is a compound word. So you got two other Greek words that they put together, and now you have this term, only begotten. So the first word you find in number 3441, mono. Now, this is a term that we're familiar with. And for example, when you think about, for those of you who are familiar with stereo, okay, when you talk about a mono system, you're talking about a system that only has the one speaker. Okay, so the term mono, it means soul in a sense of being only. But then it's compounded with another term, 1096. Now, that term is where we get our term genes from. Okay? Now, monogenes, the term genes, that part of that word, it means cause to be. And now we talk about cause to be. We're talking about causing to exist. That's what it means. So now, soul and cause to be, when you put those two together, you have only begotten, the only existing, the Word. And it said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. When it says only begotten, this is the only thing that came forth from the Father. That's what that means. Now, if we understand it on these terms, okay, brother, because I know a lot of things are going through people's minds right now, because when the Most High was opening my heart and my mind to see these things, the same thoughts was going through my mind. Hold up. How can we say that is what it's talking about when it says that Adam was the Son of God? So that means that if Adam was the Son of God or a product of God, that means it would also X out the whole idea that the Word was the only begotten of God, the Father. So let's put these things into perspective. The Father, which in the New Testament is God, okay, created one thing. And you know what that one thing that the Father created was? It was the Word. So when it says that Adam was the Son of God, see, it was the Word. See, Elohim, power, mighty ones, God, and power said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. See? Here's with that plurality again in the link. We're going to look at that next week. But right now, the focal point is this. Father, we're going to look at something as we go through the lesson tonight. The Father created one thing. That was the Word. After the Word was created, this is what the Father did. Step back, laid out his will, and the Word went forth and fulfilled everything that the Father commanded and brought about creation. Look at a few other passages. In John chapter 1, down in the verse 18, it says that, and this is one of the passages that we looked at, it says, no man has seen God at any time. Keep that in mind. Because, see, we still haven't gotten to Genesis 18 and 19 yet. We haven't gotten there yet. But right now, we're just building, and we're allowing the Most High to lead and guide us by His Spirit through His Word and allow Him to put these things together so that we can see the bigger picture. No man has seen God at any time. So whenever you have within the history of Israel an apparition or a vision of God, it was not the Father. It says, let's go on. The only begotten, in other words, the sole creation, which is the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. You understand what that means? That means this. The times that you heard God speak, it was never God the Father, always God the Word. That's what it was. It was God the Word. God, that creative force, that creative power that did everything. The Father, remember, history. That's why we went through the whole 7 days, Abraham, about that covenant, which was circumcision, and what circumcision is when you look at the genitalia of that man. And he has that foreskin covering up the tip or the head of his genitalia. And what circumcision does, it removes that extra skin. And when it removes it, now the head of that genitalia is revealed. Abraham to do that on the 8th day. See, these things were given for a reason. So we do not see. We do not hear the Father until the 8th day. Right now, we're still within the 6th millennium. So the Father is yet to be revealed. So anything that you see where there's an entity that is interacting with humanity, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Powers. It was never the Father. Always the Word. Let's go to John 3:16. It says, for God, see, what it's doing, it's the way that it's using the term God in correlation to the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. This is the only thing that I created. So this is the task that I'm going to give it. I'm going to send it forth. I'm going to command it to come through the birth canal of that woman and to come out just like human beings that He created and dwell among us that we may behold His glory. I commanded Him to do that, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one entity that the Father created. That is the Word. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So let's look at this information that we've gone through thus far. What have we learned at this point from what the Bible says? Not me. I'm simply reading scriptures, but simply reading them in a manner that are now being connected so that we can see a bigger picture as the Most High has laid forth through his servants, the prophets. We have it right here. So when we ask the question, was Yahweh powers, the same entity that says that he created the heavens and the earth, was he a created being? It is Yahweh powers that created the heavens and the earth. It's the Word that created the heavens and the earth. Yahweh powers is that Word. Look at that, son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. As Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, begins to give his insight and explanation. And I pray that Shem, Yahushua, Mashiach, nobody who hears this broadcast or any other, take my word for it. My word is nothing, and I'm just a man. But you pray, you ask the Creator by his Spirit to lead and guide you through his word. He says this in his writing. He says, and he's describing the Messiah. And he listen to this one. Who is the image of the invisible? Hold up. The invisible. Visible means something that is seen. Invisible means that you can't see. It's unseen. Visible God. There's a God that exists that man cannot see, man cannot hear. But then there's a God that exists that man both sees and hears. The messenger. Always been that way. But because of our Judeo-Christian upbringing, our minds have been corrupted from accepting the simple and plain truth of his word. It's right there. Like people like to say, in black and white. But how many people will debate you on this issue? It's not because it doesn't exist. It's because they don't understand. You know, I woke up this morning. Hallelujah. And the Most High put an interesting thought on my mind. He said, son, don't you find it interesting to live in a world where people believe in a book and basically try to live their lives, so they think, according to this book. But within this same book, they're instructed not to live by it. Carry around this Bible, and that means that the Bible teaches. And then they'll go to someplace else in the Bible and say, oh, we don't have to live that way anymore. Hold up. It's a part of the same book. You got it. You're carrying a book that's contradictory. And one place is telling you to do something, and then another place is telling you not to do something. It cancels itself out. So my question then is, why are you carrying a book if you don't eat the whole book, as one prophet was told to do? You see? We have been brought up into a world system that teaches a corrupted image that God here really is. And he reveals it to us plainly and clearly in his word. Plainly and clearly. But remember, the beginning of his kingdom was that confusion. So we look out at the world today, the manifold belief systems that exist, religious or non-religious, you're looking at Babel.
Colossians 1:15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? And then listen to this part. The firstborn of every creature. Hold up. What does that mean? The firstborn. So let's break that down. Let's look this term up in the Greek. Number 4416. The word is prototokos. Prototokos. Now, what you're hearing in that sound word, the first term, proto. We used to hear that term when we had when we attach another word to it, prototype. See, we talk about a prototype. See, the prototype, this is the first of its kind. See, so the term proto, it comes from number 4413, and it means foremost. Think about that. 5088. That word is tikto. Tikto. Now, what that word means, to produce. So, foremost to produce. Foremost to produce. So, when you say the first born, this is the first thing that was produced of all creation. That's what we're learning here. What do you, hold up. Back it up. Help me out. Who is the image of the invisible God? There's a God, there's a power that exists that is invisible to man. He can't see him. And in other places, we also learn you can't even hear. Foremost that was produced. Hold up. What are you telling me? Of every creation. What are you telling me? Let's compare a few things, and we're going to get back to Colossians momentarily. Isaiah 41:4. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am he. Why is he calling himself, everybody believes him to be, the divine father? He is not just the first, he's the only thing. So why does he refer to himself as the first? See, when you say you're the first, see, it implies that something came after you. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. I am the last, and beside me there is no power. The first and the last. Hold up, brother. If he's the first and the last, does that imply he's the only, as we are learning here, only begotten, monogenes, firstborn, protokos, the first produced? But then something did come out, came after. What he himself would produce. Isaiah 48:12-13. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my call. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. I'm the first thing that was created and the last thing that was created. Why? Because I am the only begotten of the Father. You're reading that into it. It didn't say that. You're reading it into it. What we're doing, we're looking at this passage, and we're making sense of something that we already read. But it says only begotten, again, monogenes, the soul that was caused to be, the only that was caused to be. When we look at the term, again, the foremost that was produced. The foremost that was produced. He says, listen to this one. Talking unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my call. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also
has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call them to them, they stand up together. So now let's read this. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to read this and verse 16 right behind it. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, hold up, by the firstborn of every creature, all things were created. So I'm the first and I'm the last that my Father created, but everything else came from me is what's there here. Isaiah 48, 12, and 13. Listen to the context. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. Again, Colossians 1, 16 said, for by him were all things created. Now, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay? All things were created by him. Let's not lose sight of the passages that we already went through. Because what we're doing, we are allowing the Most High by his Spirit and by his Word to build. Because, see, there's a lot of people who just don't understand this God is. For by him were all things created that are in the heavens and that are in the earth, seen and unseen, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Bible students, do we believe the word of the Most High? Let's make some comparisons here. I'm just going to read these passages, and then I ask that you just answer. That's all. Sometimes, as my brother often points out, you just have to listen to the word. Sometimes you don't even have to explain it. Sometimes you just have to listen to it. So I just ask everybody at this point, just listen to the next few verses that I'm going to read, then we can talk a little bit after. John 5:37. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Exodus 19:9. And Yahweh said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yahweh. Powers spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, thy power, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of power speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Deuteronomy 4, 36. Out of the heavens he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. John 5:37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Who was talking? Who did they see? That's the question. It was Yahweh that was talking. Because he is a messenger. That's why. Yahweh, my Father, that sits at the head of the hierarchy. Yah is the divine father who sits at the top, at the head of this hierarchy, which is why his name was mentioned minimally throughout the scripture. In other words, you can look at it as the word given prop. See, a lot of times what people don't realize, see, whenever they see the name Yah, they automatically think, based on what the scholarship and the intellectuals have said, they automatically think, well, that's the short form of the name of the Yahweh. What people don't realize is that the term Yod-Heh-Yah is actually a part of the bigger name Yahweh. Highest form of praise. Hallelujah. The word for Elohim or Yahweh Elohim inspired the prophet to write. See, there's some things we're going to get into with building. If Yahweh Elohim inspired the prophet to write, why was that term used? Hallelujah. You know why? See, there's some passages, I'm just going to mention them. When the Messiah, which at this point I hope we understand now, whether you accept it or not, that the Messiah, Mashiach, listen to his name, Yahushua, Mashiach, Yahushua. See the word? So Mashiach, Yahushua, he is the word in this manifestation after taking on the form of a man and dwelling among humanity, still bearing, listen to what the scripture says, I have come in my Father's name. And you don't even believe. He said, if another shall come in his very own distinct and unique name, that's the one everybody going to be running after. So who is it that the world believes? Jesus! Forgive me for laughing, and I'm not making this a light matter, but this caused my mind of something that one of my brothers sent me earlier today. And I did not know that Jesus was a bail bond. Wow. Jesus, bail bond. Wow. Some other examples from the scriptures. See, let's go to the book of Revelation then. Says Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Now, in the King James Version and most of your English version, what this passage is going to read, I am Alpha and Omega. Okay? But according to the language that he spoke. Well, brother, how are you going to say that he spoke whatever language you can really say? Well, based on what the Bible teaches, when he approached and had the encounter with Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, scripture is clear when it says that he spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. That's the language of the heavens, Hebrew. Now, people may debate and argue. Don't get twisted. Don't get so caught up in the title of it, because there was one point, there was not a need to name a language, because at one point that was the only language that humanity spoke. So it was unnecessary to call it anything in particular, but it has retained the name Hebrew because it was the language that the Creator continued to deal with his people with. Not only his people, but there were other people that you find during those times, the Phoenicians and the Canaanites, et cetera, who also spoke that language. And anyway, neither here nor there, the correct translation of this passage would be, I am Aleph and Bow. Now, one rendering or understanding people may have of that, well, A to Z. You know, I'm the beginning and the end, and he's actually going to say that next. that's actually a little more meaning to this. So let's go back to our example of why he must be referred to as the Word. Okay? Now, in order to have a word is formed by action. So, when you think about the letters of the beginning and the end, he's manifesting now his power. Because, see, each of these letters also possesses a power, which is where you get the term powers, mighty ones, gods, Elohim. You see? So if you can just, for a moment, open that mind and allow the Word to be revealed. Now, we already looked at one passage, or at least it was mentioned. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So, based on that clause in Genesis 1:26, we at least have the understanding at its most base level that man or humanity was created in the image and the likeness of the Most High. On that basic level, I believe that's something that we can all agree with. So now, let's go to the New Testament. Now, some of you, you may or may not be familiar with this, but utilize some time in your convenience to look these references up. Paul, he's describing a body, a human body. And he said, and he's utilizing it in an allegorical way, referring to the body of the Messiah. Okay? So he says how the body has many members. And even when you look at ourselves, now, we talked about this before. Now, if you want to break the way that the human body is constructed on a basic level, you can look at the head as one part, two arms, the torso, or the trunk, some people call it, and two legs. So if you look at all of these pieces, you have at least six parts. Now, when you get into the systems, you have what's called a respiratory system. There are several things connected to that. What we're doing, we're just using these examples so we can see how the body, when you look at a person, you're seeing one united individual. But each person, ourselves included, we consist of many different parts. So he created man in his image and after his likeness. In other words, you have these powers, which are 22 powers from Aleph to Tav, but they function and they work as a unit. So now, keep this in mind, and I mentioned before, Most High gave me a word, and we were having what was called Unification Sabbath a few years ago. And one opportunity that he gave, I spoke about the term poly means many, and theos, or the term derived from the term Greek word theos, God, many gods. So now, when you think about many gods, the first thing that comes to people's mind is the heathen or the pagan rendition of it. We get into your mythology. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Why? Because this is how the adversary has confused the world. Because we have a question to ask now. Where did that knowledge come from? As was stated before, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding comes from the creator of it all. So what you see out here in these other religions and the other belief systems, you see a corruption of the truth. So when you look at Hindu mythology, you notice that they have a deity, and that deity is often represented with having a whole lot of arms. See, that's supposed to be the different powers, Elohim. So when you think about the Greek mythology and the Roman mythology, with their god of this and their god of that and their goddess of this and their goddess of that, what you see a multitude of these different powers because that is a corruption of Elohim. It is a falsehood. It is a misrepresentation. So what the creator had to do, he gave a statement which became the foundation of the Israeli faith. And we refer to it as Shema. And what is the Shema? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad. In other words, your powers
He's not divided like the gods and the goddesses of these false belief systems that surround you. But he works and functions just like a human body does, as one unit.
So he said, let's go back to Revelation 1:8. I am Aleph and Thou, the beginning and the ending, saith the Master, is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, Yohanan, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Yahushua Mashiach, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Yahushua Mashiach. I was in the spirit on the Master's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Aleph and Zau, the first and the last. Hold up, hold up. Did you hear that? Now, do we realize that in the book of Revelation, and you can see this for those of you who have the red-lettered version of the Bible, whatever is written in red is what the Messiah spoke. So is it coincidence that the Messiah said the same thing that we read in the Old Testament scripture, Yahweh is saying, I am the first and the last? Is that coincidence, or is this a revelation to us in the book of Revelation that Mashiach, that word which became flesh in the Old Testament, was none other than Yahweh himself? Verse 11 again. Which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now, I'm going to interject something right here, then we're going to pick back up in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 1. Let's go now to Daniel chapter 7 and read verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, describing Mashiach, it says, verse 14, his head and his hairs were white, like as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like as a fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Yahweh is a sun and shield, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 22, verse 13. I am Aleph and Thaul, the beginning and the end, and the last. Was Yahweh power's born? If we deny that he was, we deny what the Holy Scripture teaches. in closing, Book of John. And we're going to find out a few other passages that the Messiah spoke. He says, John chapter 8, verse 42, Yahushua said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now we've looked at passages where the Messiah in Revelation says that he's the first and the last. We've looked at passages and it says, Yahweh, that is, says, I am the first, I also am the last. To show that the Messiah is the image of the invisible God. We looked at passages which show he's the firstborn of every creature, the only begotten. We looked at passages that imply that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. For by him were all things created. All things were created by him and for him. We looked at passages which clearly show that Yahweh said that Moses, he co-signs on that. Did ever people hear the voice of power speaking, hear his voice? And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire? But the Messiah said, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me, ye have neither heard his voice at any time. Brothers and sisters, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh is the word of Yah. Yah, being the name of the Father, gave the word a name which included his own, which is why we refer to Elohim as Yahweh. See, that first part of the name is the name of the Father. But then when you look at the entire name, scholars like to say that the name Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh is derived from another Hebrew word, Hayah or Hawa, which is the Hebrew verb of existence. Not so. Although the name Yahweh does incorporate the Hebrew verb of existence, but see, there's a message there. Now remember what the Messiah said. He says, this comes from John 1:18, okay? No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So now, if we understand that the Son is that word which became flesh, and that word is that power, that creative force that brought all things into existence, and was given the name Yahweh and attached powers, when we understand that, the name Yahweh, what that actually means, Yah. Exist. In other words, what we find within the Word, which is the only begotten, which is the firstborn of every creation, is declaring the Father. Yah exists. And with this very same word, believe. Sometimes I tell you, you just gotta stop. And you just gotta appreciate which the Most High has given. Now, what the Most High just brought to my mind, too. Yahweh. And we've learned about the Word in the Old Testament scripture. What Yahweh gave up. See, that's the beauty of it. We're going to get into some more things. Not tonight. I'm about to close up. But I just pray that you do not take my word for it, because it's not my word. It is the word of Yah, our Heavenly Father. See, when the Messiah said that he couldn't do anything except his Father gave him a command, he couldn't say anything except his Father gave him a command. See, we got to take that as seen. He that has an ear, let him hear. That Old Testament deity, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, is in fact a created entity by the Father. Does everything to bring glory right back to the Father. Introduce a new being, so to speak. He inspired his prophets when they were. And pay attention. Now, with the exception being the Psalms, and then we have to even look at that. Why was the name Yah included in so many of the Psalms? See, what is the Psalm? These are songs of praise and thanksgiving. So we are introduced to the name Yah when they came out of Egypt and after they crossed the Red Sea. That's a reason why that happens like that. What are my steps in thy word? There's a reason. So when we get to that other side, Yah is my strength and my song. In other words, see, we come to the realization now. So he used two of his, and I'll use this term just for example's sake, because I don't believe in a major or minor prophet to that degree. But when you look at the two prophets that utilized the name Yah, first of which was Moses. Yah is my strength and my song, he wrote. Yah hath sworn, Yahweh shall rule with Amalek from generation to generation. And see, in that story, this is the part that I hope nobody misses or reads over, where they are explaining the battle and the actual war that went on. It was Joshua, the scripture said, that discomfited Amalek. Is that telling us that Yahweh, which is Elohim, powers, mighty ones, that word, he is going to fight against the kingdom of the adversary, and he's going to defeat the kingdom of the adversary, but in the form of Yahusha? Is that what that story telling us? I know some people probably be hearing this and think that brother, whoever he is, he must be out of his mind. Talking about Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh like that, to bring him down like that. In actuality, my brothers and my sisters, that's building him up so that we can understand. That is special. My wife loves to watch the show, and periodically I sit and I watch it with her, and I find that I like that show myself, Cover Boss. So what I like about it is this. You have these CEOs and these presidents of these corporations, and they disguise themselves, and they go to one of their workplaces, wherever, you know, they decide to go. I'm sure in many instances they have workplaces all over. So they decide they're going to go to the workplace, and what they're going to do, they are going to see how things are running. And nobody knows who they are. They always give us some other story so that nobody really knows that they are the CEO. They don't really know the work. You know, they go in like novices. But they learn different things about some of their employees. In some instances, good. In some instances, bad. You see? But they're learning things about the employees. And then at the end of the show, and normally they do two segments. You know, it's like a half an hour. Then, you know, one guy comes clean. And then what he does, he brings the different people in that he seems to be very good workers and assets to the company. And he rewards them. You know, and I think that's the part that I really like about the show. But why I interject that is this. See, as was stated, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding comes from the Most High. Now, every show, you know, when it's going off and they're showing the credits, they say who the director is or the producer is or not. In some instances, you have what the who the creator is. You know, because sometimes the person who actually has the idea for the show may not necessarily be the producer or the director, but they got the show from somewhere else. Well, the original idea of the undercover boss comes right from the pages of Holy Scripture, because it was Mashiach Yahusha. See, he came down and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You see? Because at one point, and we're going to see, and I don't want to say too much right now because we're going to get into some other things next week, but I'll just mention this, and you know, it's okay. We'll still look at it next week. Think about this. Matter of fact, I'll do it this way. Let's finish these passages. I have a few passages I wanted to read in closing. I read one in John 8:42. Let me read the next two. John 16:27. It says, "For the Father himself loveth me, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." And in John 17:8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Now, I just wanted to finish that out at least. And I pray again, you know, that people were writing down some of the passages that we use, so that you, in your convenience, you can look these things up and verify them for yourself. Now, this is what I want to say. When you look at a passage such as Genesis chapter 18, for example, okay, where it's clearly going to show, and when we get into that, that Yahweh appeared before Abraham. And when we go through the story, you're going to see and it's clear cut straight to the point, that's what happened. But then you fast forward to the time of Moses. And Moses wanted to see the Most High too. But then Moses couldn't see the Most High. Scriptures describe that he put Moses in a cleft on a rock and covered him up, and then he passed him, and then all Moses saw was his hind parts and things like that. So we got two different passages. One that says that Yahweh appeared before Abraham, and then the other, it says, "Moses, no man shall see me and live." Is what we call, in Talmudic language, a difficulty. It appeared, especially to those who don't believe in the Bible, contradictory. But in actuality, it's not a contradiction. But as with the word, the scripture says this: "How shall they preach except they be sent?" And see, what that means is this. Because you got a lot of people out there who proclaim themselves to be ministers, and they have this title now, self-proclaimed ministers, self-proclaimed man of God or man of the cloth or what have you. See, everybody that just runs up there and say, "Hey, I got a message," telling me that they got a message. Within the scripture, you hear about false prophets and false teachers. The Bible says, "And no marvel about the adversaries." says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He says, therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers, Satan got ministers, who are transformed into ministers of righteousness. In other words, you would have men and women out there parading themselves as being messengers of the Most High. What they're doing in actuality, they're teaching you falsehood and they're keeping you in darkness, but you don't know because they come in a corrupted and a deceptive spirit that appears to be love, that appears to be compassion, that appears to exemplify grace and mercy. But in actuality, their teachers will drive you to the pits of hell. So he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, and we learn when we study the history that was given to us. When the Most High chooses a man, he gives that man a word. And listen very carefully. He gives that man a word. He does it. He reveals himself, and he sends them forth. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that the Most High leads you and guides you as an individual through his word, by his spirit, that your heart, that your mind be open to see not what I say or any of the teachers of Bet Yahweh teach, or the Cool Elohim Bible 101 program of all that exists. May he lead and guide you and open your heart and mind that you know that it's his truth. So next week we continue our lesson and our study. What does the Bible teach about God? B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach, hallelujah. Gracious and merciful Father, forgive us all of our sins that we've committed against you, knowingly and unknowingly. Strengthen us all by thy spirit, that we, gracious and merciful Father, that we do all and only those things that are pleasing in thy sight. Help us, Father, for we are weak, weary, and worn. But by thy spirit, and thy spirit alone, shall we receive power. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach, I pray. Hallelujah.
Ma tovu, ma tovu. Ma tovu, ma tovu. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hi.